Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2. And tonight, I am going to give you the title before I read. It's called The Marks of a Great Church. The Marks of a Great Church. Acts, chapter 2. We're going to read verses 41 through 47 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Acts 2, 41 through 47. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And let's finish on verse 47. Ready? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for everything that you've done. God, I pray that you'd help us tonight, help us to please you. Lord, I pray that you would just work in our hearts, in our minds. Thank you for our great church. And I pray that you'd be glorified by what happens in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I forgot my water. Hang on here. It has been my honor to have been in many great churches. I have been in great churches in big cities. I've been in great churches in little towns. I've been in great churches in medium-sized towns. I've been in great churches that, I'll promise you, the whole building wasn't much bigger than this section of people over here. I've been in great churches that were built and bigger than this building. Now, I don't mean to be unkind when I say this, but I've been in big churches that I would not call great churches. I've been in middle-sized churches that I would not call great churches. I've been in small churches that I would not call a great church. You see, attendance is not God's measurement of greatness. Dr. Lee Robertson was a great man of God. Dr. Robertson was in the ministry for good night, about 70 plus years. Dr. Robertson pastored six other churches before he pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. That was the seventh church he pastored or worked in as an assistant pastor. Once he got there, he spent the next 40 years and 6 months as pastor of Highland Park Baptist Church. And God used Dr. Robertson to build a great work for God. Dr. Robertson also built a great, at that time, a great Bible college, Tennessee Temple, now University. Now, it's not worth spitting on. I'm not afraid to say it. The last years of Dr. Robertson's life, he had an office there at the church, and I had a friend who visited there, and they said, "Where's Dr. Robertson's office?" They said, "Who?" He said, "Dr. Lee Robertson." They said, "Oh, you mean that old man that there's a picture of in the hallway? His office down there somewhere." That was one of the students at the college. Now, Dr. Robertson preached till he was well into his 90s. So recently, I was reading a book that Dr. Robertson wrote, listen to this, when he was 85 years old. Now, you want to know what kind of books I read? I just told you what kind of books I read. Fundamentalists. The right kind of people. And I was browsing through the book, and I've read it before, but I was just kind of flipping through the pages a little bit. I can't tell you that I was actually looking for an idea. I had a few moments, and I set aside for some casual reading, and I was doing it, and all of a sudden, I saw on the pages something, and God said, "This is what I want for our church." And in it, he said this, and I'm going to quote about a paragraph and a half to you. This is what he said at 85 years old. Building a great church. Notice, I didn't say building a large church. Some large churches are far from great. I'm not primarily concerned with the bigness in numbers and finances, but I am concerned about greatness. Let the local church be great in spirit, great in concern, great in missionary outlook, great in work, especially great in soul winning. I have seen great churches in rural communities, small towns, and mission fields. Churches great in spirit, attitude, and accomplishment. End quote. Wow. Here's one of the patriarchs of the last generation. And by the way, I've spent time with Dr. Robertson. I've spent hours with Dr. Robertson. He was a little bit smaller built man than myself, but mighty in power. I want you to know a thought, and then I'll give you the rest of the message. That thought is this: I'm not interested in copying copies. I'd like to copy the original. I did something just this evening when I got to the church here. I have one of our visitor sheets that Mrs. Schenenberger filled out recently. It's right here. That's the original. Brother Smith, why don't you come up here for a second? I copied this, took the copy, copied the copy, took that copy, copied the copy. I did that 19 different times. This is the 20th copy of a copy. Brother Smith, can you even read that?
Just a part of it.
You can make out a few numbers, maybe a couple letters. Some of you can't read at all, right?
Yes.
Huh. That's what happens when you copy a copy. It goes from that to that. Thank you, Brother Smith. Can I tell you what's wrong in fundamentalism today? We're copying copies and we're not copying the original.
Amen.
We want to look at what this church has done and look at what that church has done and look what this church is doing, and we want to copy that. I hate to tell you, God said, your main instruction book's right here. Just copy this one. Too many churches are getting cute, they're getting fancy, and they're getting away from the old-fashioned book. Well, what about all the modern age? Guess what? I am he that liveth, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I guess that means for a technologically minded age, Jesus is still the same. I guess in an age where we have modern conveniences, Jesus is still okay. I'll be honest with you. I'm not afraid to take an idea that works, that lines up with Scripture, but I'm not here to copy just everything that's copied. I have watched in the last 15 years fundamentalism change. In the last 15 years, I've watched fundamentalists copy what the neos did 25 years ago. We now have quote-unquote fundamental preachers that are taking the same wishy-washy stand on the King James Bible as Pensacola did 25 years ago. I'm not afraid to say it, folks. We now have quote-unquote fundamental churches that are bringing professors from Bob Jones universities to their pulpit to speak. Folks, when I went to school 25, 30 years ago, Bob Jones University was liberal. Just so you know. They've been liberal for a long time. And within 30 miles of where I'm standing, there's been two Baptist churches that have had people from Bob Jones University preaching their pulpit in the last few months. And they call themselves fundamentalists, just so you know. You say, what is that, copying the copy? Well, Brother Hiles used to preach with Dr. Bob Jones. Back in the 40s and 50s, he did. Yes, you're right. And Dr. Jones was more fundamental than most of them are today. They wouldn't have Dr. Bob Jones today. Say why? He'd tear them up. Amen. Trust me. Now, I'm not interested in the watered-down copies we have today. Well, are we going to be like? Nope. This is what we're going to be like. God gave us the church in Jerusalem in the book of Acts as an example church. That's the original. I believe that's the church that Jesus himself founded. Why should we copy anything else? Everybody doing okay? Grace Baptist Church, according to the scriptures, and I'll borrow something from Dr. Robertson, and according to Brother Robertson, is a great church. I want to take this simple little outline, and I want to praise God for a while for a great church, Grace Baptist Church. You see, I want to motivate you. I want you to praise God for it. But I also want to encourage you to go out and get others to be a part of it. Now, listen to me very carefully. I do want you rejoicing over its greatness. But do me a favor. Rather than just sit on your blessed assurance and take up your space on the chair or chairs, whatever amount of space you take up, instead of just taking up space and praising God, though that's part of what the sermon is for tonight, why don't you do something? Why don't you multiply yourself and bring somebody back with you? Bring somebody with you. Get them stuck in church. Say why? Because we have a great church. God has been truly good. Wouldn't you like somebody else to enjoy what we have? Man, I don't know about you, but I share it everywhere I go. Number one, and I will hurry. Number one, God's measure is almost always done in percentages. God measures things by percentage more than he does by overall number. Now, is God concerned about numbers? Yes, he is. I've been criticized over and over. Amen, brother Ed? Numbers, numbers, numbers. That's all you all care about. Numbers, numbers, numbers. Well, God wrote a whole book in the Bible called Numbers. Look how many times Jesus was somewhere and they tell how big the crowd was. Oh, Jesus was only concerned about numbers. Everybody doing okay? You say, well, he didn't take an offering. Yes, he did. He had the disciples go down when they had a debt and go fishing, and they pulled coins out of the fish's mouth. That's kind of like going down and buying a van that you can't afford, and all of a sudden God gives it to you for the price you can afford. Amazing. It's just flat out amazing. Can I tell you something? Say, what is a tithe? It's a percentage. Tithe means 10%. You're to give your first 10% of what you make, your gross, to God for the work of God. That's to be an obedient Christian. That's not an offering. That's a bill. That's a requirement by God. By the way, did you notice in the Bible, there's a little lady, a little widow lady, that gave 2 mites. 2 mites is worth about a half a penny. The Bible says that the disciples saw her give. Those 2 little pieces of copper hit the plate, and they said, Jesus, who gave more? He said, that little lady. Why? Because she gave all she had. There's others that wrote checks for a lot more. Others that gave an awful lot more, but percentage-wise, she gave more. They gave of their abundance, she gave all she had. So it was a matter of percentage. Everybody doing okay? For years, of course, I spent 4 years and graduated at Hiles Anderson College under Brother Hiles. My wife is not quite a year younger than I, but she was a grade level behind me in school, so we got married. I put her through her last year of college and worked part-time at the college and full-time somewhere else and put her through school. The Chicagoland area is about 5.5 million people. Brother Hiles steadily ran 20,000 plus in church. You say, wow, that's huge. And by the way, it is. That time, it was the world's largest Sunday school. But do you realize it's only 0.4% of the population of the Chicagoland area? 0.4%. Their average attendance. Watch this. Do you realize for Berkeley County, this church is running 0.3%? Do you realize for the city of Martinsburg, we're running about 0.6%? In God's counting, our church percentage-wise is bigger than First Baptist Church Hammond was. Now, we're not done, just so you know. And if Brother Hiles were still alive, though he'd be 88 years old or however old he'd be, I think 88 right now, he wouldn't be satisfied where he was either. I'm not satisfied, but before you try to compare yourself to a church where there's 5.5 million people available, why don't you look around and realize how God looks at it? I have a friend that pastors, and my wife and will know where this is at, in 56 Arkansas. You say, where's 56 Arkansas? Halfway between here and nowhere. When I flew into Hot Springs, they lost my luggage. He said, well, it's going to be probably till tomorrow that you get your luggage, but we'll deliver it. And the fellow said, the pastor picking me up said, are you sure? They said, sure, where are you? He said, 56 Arkansas. And the lady started laughing. Ha, 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 that's funny. Now, where are you? He had to pull his driver's license out and prove to him he lived in 56. It's a town of 120-some people. That man right now is running about 140 in church. And believe me, it's out in the middle of nowhere in the Ozarks. And I mean nowhere. Mountain View is the big town. It's 3,000 people. And that's the big city. I mean, Jaredstown is big compared to 56. Now, wait a minute. You take Brother Kevin Arcola over in Blacksville. He probably had about 50 folks today. But Blacksville's population's only, what, 238, something like that. 300 people. He's blowing us away. He blew Brother Hiles away. That's how God looks at greatness. Quit looking at an overall attendance. Now, am I for reaching every person we can reach? Yes, we are. But let's not try to compare. That's why God said don't compare yourselves among yourselves. You take Brother Rick Walters up in Maine. Man, that guy's tearing it up. Those maniacs are nuts. Amen, Miss Joyce? You talk about a liberal place. Now, other than being in the backwoods of Mexico, I've never seen so many Satanist churches in my life. Never. My wife could not believe it. But I met as many people knocking on doors that went to a Satanist church that I did that were quote-unquote Christian churches. That's a rough area. Now, wait a minute. I will say this, the bigger numbers come as your percentage of people obey. Did you catch that? The bigger numbers come as the bigger of the percentage of your people begin to obey God. Number two. So number one, God's measure is almost always done in percentage. Number two, grace is great in spirit. I love the spirit of Grace Baptist Church. Folks, you can't walk into this place and not sense it. If you walk in and don't sense it, you won't have any sense. Well, maybe it's because we don't have any sense, they don't sense it. But can I tell you something? Let's keep the Spirit alive here at Grace Baptist Church. Let's not get involved in cliques. Let's just put the rubber down where it meets the road right here. Folks, you ought not have just your little group that you hang with and that's all. You know, us four and no more. God help you. I'm for family time. I'm all for it. But I've been around long enough. If the only people you spend time with in your family and you don't let anybody else in your life, that becomes almost cultish. Just so you know. Eventually, those kids grow up and leave. That's God's plan. Amen. Thank God. Do you know, after two boys left my house, I discovered something? Leftovers. Man, I didn't even know there was those things before. I had no idea there was such things. Say why? Because every time I came home, everything was gone. Brother Mike, I didn't know there was such thing as a leftover. Now, my wife says, honey, we got to have leftover night. I said, what's that? Man, it's great. Folks, let's not gossip. If you don't have something good to say about somebody, in Jesus' name, shut up. Well, I know this negative about so-and-so. Good. Tell God, nobody else. So let's play big boy and big girl Christians. Let's shut up about the negative we know and tell God and let him take care of it. Just because you know it doesn't mean everybody else in the church needs to know it. By the way, it'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before one of your kids mess up and I bring them up here and make them tell the whole church what wrong they did. That's wicked as hell. Well, that's church discipline. That's stupid. That's not God's plan. By the way, some of you, you ought to be thankful we don't call you up here to tell everybody what you've done. Before you look down your pharisaical snoot, why don't you look at God and see what he said? I told you I was going to be nice. I'm going to try. Say, what keeps our church happy? What keeps a good spirit? Stuff like that right there. If you find out that Brother Gus did something wrong, I know that's hard to believe. But if you find out that his wife was beating on him because he just wouldn't obey, you don't have to tell everybody. I am so sick and tired. Do you know what I hear as I knock on doors, as I'm out in the community? Oh, I know of your church. Those are the people come by and they're happy, except for one lady on a certain street that's called me twice because, anyway. but you know what? I was proud of my wife. She said, you know, I'm thinking about getting a fruit basket or something together and taking and putting on that lady's porch. I said, you better do it about 2 o'clock in the morning when it's totally dark. And please don't leave a church track with it. But that's the kind of spirit our church has, just so you know. And I like that. I like that. Let's be happy for the success and blessings of others. A pastor friend of mine, he's been pastoring a church for, I think, 13 years, 13 or 14 years he's been pastoring. His church just gave him $15,000 to go out and buy a new vehicle. Do you know what I said? I wept. I was so happy for that man. He sent me a picture of it. He said, this is the first time in X number of years as pastor of this church, I'm not driving the church van. He said, it's the first family vehicle we've owned. I don't want one, just so you know. I've got my car. I've got my pickup truck. I don't need one. I didn't say that for you to do anything, and I mean that. I don't. I was truly happy, excited. I came in here, got on my knees, and praised God for my preacher friend getting that because he deserves it. I was truly happy for him. His next text to me was, now I can put a deer in the back of it. I was laughing. I said, you got to shoot one before you put one in there. Now, wait a minute. Let's be happy for the success of other people. If there's another church that has more people in church today and they're preaching the right doctrine, I'm happy for them. Do you know my friends and I don't talk about how many we had in church? We just talk about the blessings. Boy, that's a good statement. So, number one, God's measure is always done in percentages. Number two, grace Baptist Church is great in spirit. Number three, Grace Baptist Church is great in concern for the hurting. Thank God for this church and our care for people that are hurting. Before you leave, look back at that pile of food back there. And I know some of you don't have a whole lot, but can I tell you, a lot of people that do a little can do an awful lot. So, well, I'm kind of the one a little bit in need right now. Good, we'll take care of you. When you get back up on your feet and God blesses, guess what? You can start helping somebody else. Isn't that what it's all about? You see, we're pushing for that. We rush to those who are hurt or down. Mrs. Brining had a little nose job this week. I'm teasing. She had a little opportunity there, and she had it done. Was it Thursday you had that done? All the days kind of get mixed up. Brother Brining got mad and just busted her right square in the chops and broke her nose. And I told him not to get mad like that, but he just wouldn't listen to me. But no, and my wife and I were out Friday night while my daughter was working. We were partying because we didn't have any kids. Glory to God. We were out, and I stopped and picked her up some of her favorite pop and some ice cream. You say, why? Because that always makes people feel better. Amen. And I was glad that when I got there, somebody had already brought them meals just out of true concern. That's what I'm talking about. Somebody has, you say, well, I had something and nobody helped me. Quit being so selfish. That doesn't mean every time you have a need, somebody's going to do something. Everybody doing okay? You know, this place is a hospital, not a museum. And I thank God we're known as a hospital, not a museum. I was recently in a place of business, and they said, they found out who I was, and they said, oh, that's that church where they help people, right? This old preacher picked his chin up, threw what chest I have left out, my belly stuck out farther. Shut up. And I said, yes, we are. And they said, boy, you don't hear that much anymore. I said, that's because they're going the modern way. We're going the Bible way. Whew. Man, it got quiet in there in a hurry. I thank God for this church's concern for the hurting. Can I tell you something? Don't lose that. I'm glad that Brother Jerry's here tonight. But can I tell you something? Thank God this church is concerned. Thank God. Number four, and I got to hurry. Grace Baptist Church is great in missions. Our church is only 2 years old, folks. We've been supporting missionaries for 18 months. We've helped start 5 churches. We've helped Pastor Arcola in his church an awful lot. Gave them chairs, got rid of their pews, tried to keep that old building afloat just a little longer. Lord have mercy. Brother Ed went down there and preached a couple weeks ago. Brother Ed, did you go in the basement while you were there? I'm surprised you made it back out. He said, I shouldn't have done that. I said, I feel the same way when I went down there. I hope it was after you were done preaching and not before. I'll tell you this, if it was before he was preaching, he didn't jump around while he was preaching. It's scary. And I'm telling you, you know, I thank God for that. We support Brother Dennis Coral. I thank God for a church that our missions isn't, now listen to this, it isn't just foreign missions. It's Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 missions. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. And we've got a good balance. Folks, if we don't start helping churches in America, who's going to support the foreign missionaries? Somebody's got to get it going. America's going down in a hurry. Thank God for that. I just got a letter from Brother Coral. I'll read it here in a week or two. Every month I get a letter from Brother Coral. I just read it yesterday or this morning. In it, it said, I've had 47 saved in the last month. Thank God for somebody like that. Thank God. Can I tell you something? We can't all go, but we can all give. By the way, as long as I'm pastor of this church, we're only going to support missionaries and pastors who believe in soul winning the Bible way. My secretary will tell you, I check them out real thorough. Really, really, really thorough. Say why? I don't want to waste your money, and I don't want to waste God's money on lazy rascals that are taking four-year vacations in a foreign country. We're not here on humanitarian aid. We're out here preaching the Word of God, getting as many people out of hell as we can get. And if you're not going to do that, you don't need my money. You can slough off somebody else's, not mine. Everybody doing okay? Okay, number five. Grace Baptist Church is great in work. It's usually said 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people, and 10% of the people do 90% of the work. That's not true at Grace Baptist Church, just so you know. Our percentage is much higher. Our people do a lot of things. Good night. Look at all of the building stuff we've done around here. We've had all new lights and things installed in here. How many of you remember the beautiful carpet that we used to have? Oh, my soul, we built this wall, Sunday school classes. We've built the new offices out there. We've gotten all that work done, the cabinetry. We've gotten just a multitude of things. The ladies that have redone the bathrooms, thank God they've redone those bathrooms. And the nurseries are being redone as we speak. We've got the little wall out here that was built and painted, and the first nursery's painted. The other one's three-fourths painted. Wait till we get it done. When you go in there, we're going to pass out sunglasses, just so you know. Mrs. Moore said the workers aren't going to be able to sleep anymore while we're having church. That does bother me. We're going to get the speaker moved so I can preach the devil out of them women in there, amen? But you take all the people that are involved in bringing breakfast for Sunday school. You take the parking lot attendants, Sunday school workers, folks that paint, folks that are doing the cleaning around here, nursery workers, you name it. There is a lot of work being done around here. I thank God that this isn't a lazy bones church. Now, if you're lazy, you're welcome to be here, but I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to last a long time. Can I tell you something? We're working hard to get people to come and stay. And there's still a lot of work yet to do. Number six, and I'm done. Our church is a great soul-winning church. Our church is a great soul-winning church. Brother Jerry, I haven't thought of this in years. I was an assistant pastor for a long time. Oh, pretty close to 20 years ago, I had a very well-known preacher come through that was preaching, and I was an assistant pastor in a church out of state. That man criticized me to my pastor and said that I was a deeper lifer. I would never, ever build a soul-winning church if I were a pastor. That's the only word I can think of that I can say from behind the pulpit. I'm not sure how to spell it, but I can say it. Want to hear it again? For 24 months, this church has averaged 1.6 people saved every day for 24 months straight. We have seen over 1,200 people get saved. That's what I can document. Those aren't the uh-ohs that nobody told me about. Those aren't the ones that we don't even know about. Those aren't the ones Brother Hawkins and Mrs. Hawkins have had saved while they're out on the road representing. That's not the ones that, those are just the ones that I know of. Listen to this. Early this morning I got here, I keep track of just about everything around here. My secretary gets tired of all the things I keep track of. From the very first soul-winning meeting we had in the parking lot at the Holiday Inn 24 and a half months ago, I kept track of how many people went soul winning and how many people got saved. Every soul winning meeting we've had in 24 plus months, we have had a little over 3,600 people go out soul winning from this church in 24 months. That's an average of 33 soul winners per week. Our church, that's about 30% of our church goes out soul winning every week. That's why I say we're far greater than the 10% doing 90% of the work. Amen? This church has passed out over 55,000 gospel tracts in 24 months. Let me say that again. Over 55,000 gospel tracts. Mrs. Moore, in the last 2 weeks, she was kind of doing a side job. She went there the first day, and one of her gospel tracts was on her computer. She was somewhere this week, and she said, "Everywhere I go, you're watching me." She sent me another picture. I don't even know where she was, but the track went before her. Amen? I told her, "I'm like God. I see you." Now, wait a minute. I thank God for that. There's a guy that works in a church not even close to what we are, but it's Baptist in the local area here. He stopped by one day. He said, "I heard that y'all got new chairs. We're getting chairs for our church. Can I look at your chairs?" I said, "Sure." I said, "But how?" He said, "A couple of you folks met me over here at 7-Eleven one night." He said, "I got 4 gospel tracts from your church already." He said, "You got great folks. They're excited." He said, "I wish we could get one like that." He knew more about our church and he doesn't even go here. You know, I thank God for that. I can't walk into Sheets. Every worker in the early morning of Sheets calls me pastor now. I don't walk around saying, "Holy brethren, I'm here." Most of the time, I'm not even awake enough. Good night. Was it this week, Leslie? I walked in one morning and, I mean, I'm not sure I was awake. I walked out the door and realized, I didn't even say goodbye to Leslie and I didn't even buy her coffee for her. I mean, I still wasn't awake. I was just brain dead. That's not unusual, but I hadn't had enough coffee in the veins yet to wake up the brain, amen? And I felt horrible. But it's just the way it is. I thank God for a soul-winning church. By the way, our tracks are everywhere. And I mean everywhere. I've showed up at gas stations to pump gas, and somebody's left tracks on the gas pump. I'm thinking, well, somebody's going to get it. I'm not going to take it. I already know how to get saved. Amen. I'm excited to watch adults go soul winning. And we've got new adults going soul winning. And we need some of you that do know how to do it, that aren't doing it, to get off your do nothing and do it. Whew, caught myself. I'm excited about the number of teenagers that go out soul winning. Man, we've got some great young people here. And they're soul conscious. I'm excited about our kids that go soul winning. Yep. You don't know what this is doing for your kids, folks.
Yes, sir.
You really don't. I do. I know what it can do. And you don't understand what it does for their people skills for the rest of their life. It's not hard for my daughter to take a stand when she's working at Bob Evans. Not at all. Say why? She's used to it. She's been soul winning long enough. There's nothing anybody can say to bother her there. I'm not kidding. First night she was there, one of the workers said, "So you mean we could wear a skirt?" I said, "Well, that was said nice." She said, "Dad, you didn't see the attitude it was said with." I said, "So what'd you do?" She said, "Mm-hmm." Say, "Where'd you learn that?" Soul winning. I told her, just use your soul winning capabilities, put it to the practice, and smile and shine. I said, "You'll do okay." Can I tell you something? That means 6:30 Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock Saturday mornings, we ought to be overwhelmed with Grace Baptist Church so we can see more people get saved. Well, I don't know how to do it. Show up, we'll teach you. Show up, we'll teach you. By the way, you say, well, I can't show up one of those times. You call me, I'll go soul winning with you. If you're a lady, you call me, I'll get a lady to go soul winning with you whenever you're available. You say, well, I only got an hour and I'm such and such place. If I can work it out in my schedule, I'll stop everything. I'll drive to where you are on your lunch hour. We'll go soul winning. I'm not afraid of it. How about you? You know, and let me just say this almost in closing. Well, I'd go, but I'm not sure who my partner would be. How about the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Why do you have to have, I find nowhere in Scripture where you have to pre-designate your partner before you go. Could be that the Lord has something else in mind for you. Everybody doing all right?
Yep.
Remember that thing about cliques? Let's don't have soul winning cliques either. I'm done. Our model church is the book of Acts, not somebody else's church. I have studied great soul winning churches. I've studied great soul winning pastors. I've studied J. Frank Norris. I've studied and knew Dr. Jack Hiles. I'll study Lee Robertson and know Lee Robertson. I know some of the great soul winning churches of yesteryear. The Camp Baptist Temple and Harold Henniger, who was trained by J. Frank Norris. The Bruce Cummins and the Massillon Baptist Temple, who was trained by J. Frank Norris. Great soul winning churches. Everybody doing okay? I also watched the mistakes they made and watched why some of those churches are barely even a shadow of what they used to be. Listen to this statement. J. Frank Norris, who is the father of fundamentalism, the church he pastored in Texas is now back in the Southern Baptist Convention. Let me ask you a question. Are you satisfied with just being a member of a great church? Or would you like to take part and become part of the great church? I don't know about you. I like greatness, but let's make our great greater. Let's make our great greater. Not so we can have a big number, not so we can pat ourselves on the back, but so we can go out and help more people. Hey, how about 2 years from now that 3,600 soul winners more than doubles? That means every one of us goes out and gets somebody, bring them back, get them dunked in the water, teach them how to be soul winners, and they go out and get somebody. Say, well, what was our attendance? I don't even know what the attendance was today. Brother Mark could probably tell me, but I don't know. That wasn't as important to me. Notice what the importance was to me. 28 weeks in a row of visitors. That's more important to me. I really don't. I did not look at the attendance. I had the sheet handed to me. Brother Mark, I didn't even look at it. Say why? We got a great church. Well, what if it's a down day? We'll have a great church on a down day as well as a great church on a big day. Are you just satisfied with taking up space, or do you want to participate? Thank God for a great church. By the way, that's our role model right there. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's a great church, not because of the size, great in spirit, great in work, great in missions, great in all those things we talked about. That's the mark of a great church. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How much do you want to participate? Oh, you can participate as much or as little as you'd like. But I'll promise you, the more you participate, the greater it'll become to you. The more you get your family in it, the greater it'll be to you. Well, I just get so tired on Wednesday night, I don't think I can make it. You can make it. It'll make you greater. I promise.